Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Halfway through the Charlotte FC season, the team is in fourth place in the league behind New York, Cincinnati, and number one Miami with a 9-6-5 record. Following their 2-0 win against Philadelphia, head coach Dean Smith was asked about what it feels like to be part of one of the best runs in the team's history.
We'll celebrate and enjoy that victory, but with one eye on to the next game, which is Houston, and that's all we can do. I said to the players before the game, you know, we're past the halfway season, 17 games to go of this regular season, and it goes very quickly. So make sure we save it every game that we play and give it our best.
With 17 games to go in the regular season, things are looking good, but nothing is perfect. Some designated player spots are waiting to be filled. We lost Enzo Copetti, who many believe would be the team's star striker, to Argentina. Strife between fan groups at Bank of America Stadium has been an issue. And Coach Smith also says the heat is a challenge, but one the team is learning to overcome.
Yeah, that we can keep going in the heat as we have done. You know, we've got good numbers on the bench who are ready to come on and take over from players who are playing well. You know, so I think I'm learning from them all the time.
So what's ahead as we head toward the end of the regular season? What are Charlotte FC's playoff prospects? Here to talk about that and how this season has unfolded already are three journalists who follow that team very closely. Ashley Mahoney is a reporter for Axios Charlotte. Arturo Uzcategui is also with us. He reports for Progreso Hispano, and Carol Walton writes for the Charlotte Ledger. Good morning and welcome to you all. Nice to have you here again. Welcome. Ashley, I'm going to start with you. We spoke, I think, prior to the start of the season on this program, but also after Charlotte FC had won all of their preseason games. And I asked you then what a successful season would look like to you, to the fans, to David Tepper. I honestly don't remember your answer. So you are on the honor system here now, because I'm going to ask you if the team is on track to meet your expectations that you talked about before.
Well, thank you again for having me, Mike. And I think that they're surpassing everyone's expectations. You know, Dean Smith said at the start of the season, this would be a very difficult club to break down. And when you see, you know, the teams, the club's longest stretch of an unbeaten run, not conceding goals, you know, Kalina has been a wall for them, the Croatian wall, as they like to refer to him. I'm pretty sure I used that one last time we talked about this, but he has been phenomenal. I think they've exceeded expectations for a lot of people, certainly a lot of analysts who, you know, had them finishing near the bottom of the Eastern Conference. They are certainly doing well. Let's see if they can keep it going, or if the summer heat's going to cause them to slow down a little bit. I know the summer heat's causing me to slow down a little bit.
And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. Arturo, this is the team's third season and their fourth in the rankings at this point. Put that into perspective. How good is that for such a young team?
It's definitely good, Mike, and thank you for having me again. If we put it into perspective, the first season for the team, they ended up with 42 points after 34 matches. Second season, 43 points, only one more than the previous season, after 34 matches. Right now, after 20 matches, they are gathering 32 points, which means that they still have 14 more matches to surpass that previous mark. And why not make it to 50, you know, even more points this season, which will definitely put us, you know, top of the Eastern Conference in MLS.
Carol, you wrote an article for the Charlotte Ledger, which was headlined, "Charlotte FC is Winning Ugly," in which you remind us that this is a team that could not hold on to a lead last season to save its life. They're doing better of late. What's making the difference?
Defense, keeping the ball out of the goal. Last year, I think at any point in any game, there was a risk if the ball got past the forwards, and there could be a fast break the other way. So what this team has going is, A, a shape, good shape, as Dean would call it, and structure and confidence that goes with it, with keeping the ball out of the goal.
So, Arturo, if it's defense, is that because of the appearance on the scene of Dean Smith?
Definitely. We got to remind our listeners that the defensive line for Charlotte FC this year is the same one they had last season. So still Malanda, still Privet, still Byrne, Uronen. So in interviewing Dean Smith earlier this season, he said that he accomplished a couple of things earlier than he thought he would. One was to get this group together as a family. And the second one was to get that defensive line as solid as it is right now. So yes, it's definitely due to the presence of Dean Smith.
And we're going to be talking about Dean, his approach, and how the players have received him and what the result of that marriage of coach and team has meant so far. Ashley, sometimes you can chalk up a team's win-loss record at this point in any season, in any sport, I think, to who they played along the way, whether they were good teams, whether they were mediocre teams, weaker teams. Is that how soccer works? And if so, how would you assess the teams that they did play in this first half of the season?
I think the fun thing about MLS in particular is the parity in the league. And you can go into anyone's home on any given afternoon or evening and just stick it to them. Whereas you have other leagues where it's more of a bigger upset. You have your traditional powerhouses, and you know, Charlotte's still too young to be in that conversation yet. They're still finding their footing. You know, they're only 3 years old. But when you look at what happened in New England, you know, for a long time, they were New England's only win. So they went up there and had their heads handed to them, for lack of a better term. But they have managed to navigate this first half of the season and really just set the tone for what you want out of this club, which is clean sheets and seeing more and more consistency. Now, granted, they've had their moments. They've had their moments where they've absolutely stumbled. Again, New England, case in point. But you are seeing just the parity in the league as a whole. And the difficulty that comes with playing in this league is you're spanning an entire continent. You're not playing somewhere like England where it takes you, 4 hours to get from Newcastle to London. It's a lot of travel on these guys.
And speaking of which, how would you put this? Arturo, I'm going to ask you this question because I'm going to guess that you've seen a lot of soccer around the world. All three of you probably have. But how would this team do in a different league?
That's a really good question, Mike. I think this team would be competitive. Obviously, you need the additions of the two DP slots that are still available for Charlotte. But I think that with a coach like Dean Smith, who has premiership experience and, you know, championship experience, Premier League experience in England, I think he is making this team a competitive one. And, you know, if you would put this team in any of the South American and Central American leagues, I think they will do well. If we take it to Europe, that might be a different type of animal. But I do think this is a very competitive team and a team that is not afraid to go to other stadiums and try to get the 3 points.
I'm going to put you back on the honor system, Arturo, because when you were on this program prior to the season, I asked you then what the team had to address to have a more successful season this go-round. And remind me what you said, and if you believe you were correct, or if they have lived up or taken that direction.
So back then, I thought that they needed a strong DP, but and stronger ones than the ones we had, which were Karol Sudarsky and Kamil Jozwiak and also Enzo Copetti. But guess what? Mid-season, none of them are with the club, except for Karol, who might be coming back. And I'm pretty sure we'll talk about it a little bit later. But at the same time, Dean Smith has shown the personality to say, you're not going to play on my team. I'm not counting on you. So you better go get yourself another team. So to do that with DPs, with all three DPs, that shows a lot of character and a lot of personality. And that shows that he's leading that group into the right direction. But at the same time, I think that, you know, in order for Charlotte FC to compete even better during playoffs, if they're going to make it to the playoffs, I think that you're going to need a couple of DPs that will bring more quality to the team.
Carol, you mentioned a minute ago that what's made the difference so far this year is defense. Clearly defense. What do you do in soccer for people who are novices like me? What do you do in soccer to build a better defense? What has Dean Smith done here?
Well, for one, he's taken away kind of the one-on-one aspect of playing defense, and responsibilities are shared. And you can watch when the ball moves up the field, you can see the two lines forming and where everybody is, and they know where they're supposed to be. And if one guy gets beat, there's another guy behind him. And that seems basic, but in previous strategy, they've been so concerned about as soon as they can win the ball, pushing it forward, that they don't always have players back and they would take more risks for working the ball forward. And this team is a little bit more of a traditional approach where, you know, get the ball back and then worry about going forward.
And you also mentioned that in your June 21st column that they had allowed only 20 goals this season. That may have changed with the Philadelphia game, which was at the time the second best in the league behind the defending MLS Cup winner Columbus Crew. Again, does the credit go to Dean Smith, or is it this roster of players, or some combination thereof?
Well, I think it's got to be both. But again, as Arturo pointed out, it's the same players on defense, so that tells me the coach had a lot to do with it.
So MLSsoccer.com, Ashley, reports that, quote, teams all over the league wish they were in Charlotte's position because Dean Smith has the team playing elite defense and we can only add two attacking DPs in the upcoming window. Do you agree with that? And if so, expand on it.
Absolutely. I mean, Charlotte's, for a city that had minor league soccer here for years and struggled, you know, to get butts in seats regardless of the product on the pitch, it's refreshing to see that you have not only the enthusiasm from supporters in the stadium, but you also have people who are, one, willing to travel. So that gives you a little extra energy. You saw it in when the team went to Atlanta. But you're also seeing that this is a club with ample opportunity for growth. And like you said, you have an opportunity to add two DPs, whether you go for, you know, your playmaker and what's traditionally called the number 10 and someone who can really pull the strings. Carol Swiderski at one point did fit that role for the club. Or you can have someone who in another similar role that he played and what was expected of Enzo Capetti this season is your number 9. So what Dean Smith said in an interview this morning on FNZ was that, you know, he would love to give Patrick Adjuman a little bit of competition up front. Patrick's done fantastic for this club, putting the ball in the back of the net. But what's the old adage? Iron sharpens iron. Give someone who can push Patrick a little bit. So perhaps that's someone you see added in the upcoming window.
Arturo, Dean Smith was this team's third coach in as many years. He has been described as a real get. He brought with him a reputation from England with him. I was going to ask if you think he is living up to or exceeding it. I'm going to guess you're going to say he's exceeding that. How much of a get was this? Was this fortune heading our way, or did we know what we were getting in this guy?
This was definitely a get. This was, to me, this has been the hire of the year for Charlotte FC. And we kind of knew that he had what it took to take teams to a higher level. Let's remind ourselves that he took Aston Villa from Championship back to Premier League in England. And then he managed other clubs such as Leicester City and Norwich City. So he is the greatest hire of this season for Charlotte FC.
Arturo Uzcategui is a journalist with Progreso Hispano. Ashley Mahoney is with us from Axios Charlotte and Carol Walton from the Charlotte Ledger. We will continue our conversation about Charlotte FC in just a moment. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, using Mazda's customer-centric approach to cars to create a car buying and servicing experience where the customer is the center of their business. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and WFAE.org. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about Charlotte FC at the midway point in their third season, and a rather successful season it is so far. We're fourth in the standings. Ashley Mahoney is here. She's a reporter for Axios Charlotte. Arturo Uzcategui is a journalist with Progreso Hispano, and Carol Walton joins us. She's a writer who writes about all of this for the Charlotte Ledger. And Carol, as we have known here in Charlotte with our various professional sports franchises, sometimes coaches are a good fit, sometimes not so much. Dean Smith obviously brought with him a different philosophy, a different coaching and style, a different style of play. The players appear to have adapted well to that. Is that the case, or are there more important or other factors at play here that have improved play so far this season?
I think you're hitting the nail on the head, and I think what he brings that we didn't see the first 2 years is just sort of a confidence and a level-headedness about him. And when things go wrong in games, he knows what happened and knows how to fix it. It started in the preseason, though, with him establishing relationships with the players and people around the building. Like, you get to know him. He has no idea that he's important, right? He's just a regular guy. His dad, his family, you know, has always treated him like a regular guy. He used to help his dad, was a steward at the Aston Villa Stadium as he was growing up. So he has an appreciation for people who work, you know, at every level of the game. And he really went out of his way to get to know the players on the team. He would do scavenger hunts and all these competitions, and it seems almost silly and summer camp like, but when you get halfway through the season, you're playing in 95 degree heat, seeing the belief they have in each other that was established in those early days is looking pretty good now.
And Ashley, he did promise, Dean Smith promised before play began that the defense would be more solid, they would attack more, they would be more free-flowing in their style. What does that mean, more free-flowing, and has that proven to be the case?
Absolutely. I think when you see them as a cohesive unit, and this is true of any club, you can see the basic principles, and I'm going to pull out my soccer nerd hat, of pressure, cover, balance. And like Carol mentioned earlier, is you see them move as a unit. You don't see, you know, one guy who's caught out and thinking, oh crap, I have to sprint as fast as I can to get back because there is absolutely no help for me. But I mean, even when you look at, you know, simple mistakes that may come from, you know, Kalin doesn't make a lot of mistakes when he, you know, made a goof against Philadelphia earlier this, rather last week. Gosh, which week are we in? We're almost in July now. But you see that, you know, Milanda was able there to clear the ball off the line. So you're able to see this club really rally around each other and really support each other rather than seeing like, okay, well, it's every man out for themselves. You saw a lot of that during the inaugural season, whether it was players like TT Ortiz or other guys who are no longer with the club. Now you see a cohesive unit. And a lot of that comes down to Captain Ashley Westwood, to someone who hasn't been here all three seasons, but has become so crucial to the way that this club works, the way that this club flows, and other guys who have been here since the beginning, and Christian Kalina. Kalina, without him, what is Charlotte FC? Eventually we'll have to find out, but for now he is in many regards the staple, the wall, the heart and soul of this club.
David Tepper Arturo is known for changing coaches kind of like we change our socks. It's happened with the Panthers. It certainly happened with great speed with Charlotte FC. I'm sure he considers himself to be a man of patience, but he's also got a lot of money on the line and he wants some wins racked up here. Can we assume that he is more than pleased with what has happened under Dean Smith?
That is our hope. That is everybody's hope, I believe, because he has been doing great for the team, Dean has, and I believe that this could be the start of a long-term project for the team and the club, and hopefully the organization is really happy with Dean and what his results have been so far, that the team could focus now on finding really good DPs and designated players for the club and for Dean Smith as well. So hopefully, you know, this will be the first of many seasons of Dean Smith with Charlotte FC.
But is it always about wins versus losses with Dean, David Tepper, or are there, does personality, I guess, come into play sometimes?
I think, you know, if you take a look at all of the head coaches' changes, not only on Charlotte FC but also in the Panthers, I think it is a matter of wins and losses. You know, you want to make it to the big show, which is, you know, the playoffs and stuff. So if your team is not delivering, you always tend to blame the coach. So you're going to get rid of the coach. And that was the case for Charlotte FC during season one. And then at the end of season two, Cristian Atencio was not delivering. Let's remember, Charlotte had a losing record on both of its first two seasons. Even though they made the playoffs last season, they still had a losing record. At the moment, right now, they have a winning record. So I think Dean Smith is delivering, and that should be taken into consideration when thinking about the head coach.
Carol, you mentioned if you walk around the practice facility or the stadium, that Dean Smith is just a regular guy, and that comes from his background with his father in England as a steward at one of the stadiums there. How does that translate into how he relates to these professional players? These are not high school players. These are not college players. These are pros, and they go all over the world. How does that translate to the way he's able to relate to and communicate with them?
Well, I think, you know, it does allow for great communication, but you know, that all that is an under, there's an understanding, there's a built-in respect for him because of his pedigree in the Premier League. And I think that's important. I think any good coach needs to have the ultimate say, you know, the ultimate decision making. I mean, he's going to face some tough choices and has in his lineup. And I don't think anybody's questioning it, or there's no there that doesn't leave room for strife in the locker room and that kind of thing. So I think it's a combination of both those things, that he has a built-in respect, but also an ability to communicate and get to know the players by what's going on in their personal lives and that sort of thing.
Ashley, does this success this season go beyond defense? Is there something we're doing on offense that has changed, or that is causing the more goals to be scored, etc.?
Well, I mean, something that this club has grappled with since year one was finding wingers and players who could provide service. So adding in DP Lyell Abada has certainly been a win for Charlotte. He's, you know, the most expensive player in franchise history in terms of, you know, his salary and what it took to acquire him. And it's paying off. So this has been a club that, you know, typically has been criticized as, oh, they're not willing to spend money. Well, they spent money. They're not spending messy kind of money, but they did spend money, and you saw that it's paying off. So you are seeing guys like Abada. You're also seeing guys like Kerwin Vargas, who is, these are still very, very young players. They're coming into their own. They're finding their footing. They're finding their footing in this league. You're seeing this team gel and find cohesiveness. So you're not only seeing that cohesiveness in the defensive third, you're also seeing it in the attacking third. And I think a lot of that really flows through, again, Ashley Westwood kind of being that bridge between the two.
Arturo, these teams do not play in a vacuum. They play in a stadium, and hopefully that stadium has lots of people in the stands. Is there a feedback loop? In other words, if they start to do better and the people in the stands are more educated in terms of their expectations and what the results should be and how things should go, does that somehow feed back into the team? And if they're doing well, that feedback encourages them to do even better? Is there such a thing?
I think there is. I mean, there's a great synergy between the team and the fans, and especially if your team is doing good, then the fans are going to show up. You know, Charlotte FC is a soccer city. I mean, they average at least 30,000 fans every time Charlotte FC plays at the Bank. But at the same time, I think that if the team continues this run, I think we're going to see a lot more fans going to Bank of America Stadium and support Charlotte FC. So yeah, there's a great synergy between the both.
How has this season translated into attendance? Is attendance up, Arturo?
I would say that it has remained the same, but at the same time, I think fans are more engaged with the team and the club and with Dean Smith, actually. So I could see attendance still going up for Charlotte FC.
So, Ashley, when you have a better season than you've had in the past, and arguably this is one of those seasons, does that raise expectations by fans? Does that turn up the heat on the players and the coach?
Absolutely. I mean, when you enjoy success, I mean, imagine being a Boston Celtics fan right now. Your expectation is not just to make playoffs, it's to win championships. And when you look at what Charlotte has had in terms of its sports landscape, fans are tired. Fans are exhausted. They have been beaten down by the lack of success with the Panthers, the lack of success with the Hornets. And here comes Charlotte FC, which is this shiny new product that, you know, year one, great, great attendance, great atmosphere. Is it going to drop off in year two? Kind of stays about the same, like Arturo said. And now you are not only seeing people who are going, who are having a good time, but they're seeing a good product. So yes, expectations are definitely rising for this club. And now it's up to them to meet the moment and meet the expectation and continue to succeed.
Carol, soccer has something unique that other sports don't seem to have, and that is this cadre of fans that are just super fans, and they sit in a certain part of the stadium, and they have their own rituals, et cetera, that go on through the game and through the season. And there are lots of different fan groups at these home games. Talk about their role in hyping up the crowd and leading cheers in the fan section and what it's like to sit in or around that section.
Well, you might need to be prepared to get wet yes. if they score a goal. So it is festive. I think it's... It reminds me a little bit of college basketball. I'm a Duke grad, so being at a Cameron Crazy, you know, at a Duke basketball game where, but it really is kind of the lifeblood of the team and in the atmosphere, which Charlotte has really prided itself on so far.
Back in April, Blue Furia and Carolina Hooligans, spelled with a Z there, two of the bigger fan groups got into some altercations that turned violent after the game at the stadium, and the president of one of those groups was taken to the hospital with a bloody face. This is the kind of activity you might expect fans from rival teams to get into. In this case, they both came out for Charlotte FC. Why did this happen?
Well, it wasn't a good look. Let's put it that way. I do think it was, from what I'm told from sources, it was largely between two individuals. So I think some of the fallout made, you know, was disagreement between the two groups. So I'm not sure if it's like 100% fair to say it was Hooligans versus Blue Furia. Okay. You know, I think that's kind of been the fallout from it. And it's unfortunate. I don't think people should behave that way. And it's reflected poorly on their groups and on Charlotte FC as a whole.
Do we know what the disagreement was about, and has it been resolved?
I think from what I was told, there was a racial comment made. You know, I don't think we know. It sounds to me like it had to be something personal. You know, I'm not quite sure what would drive you to get physical in that scenario. So, yeah, I don't know that that's, I have no idea if that's been resolved at this point, but both groups have, I think, try to take the high road and do the right thing. And the incident, you know, we've moved past that, and hopefully that kind of thing doesn't happen again.
Do incidents like this, well, this incident in particular, have any impact on other fan groups going forward?
Well, hopefully it tells them what can happen if you get into these kind of shenanigans. You know, you can end up with a year-long ban or worse, especially if you decide to take on that kind of behavior within the stadium.
Arturo, like any other professional sports, players tend to come and go, sometimes quite often during the season. One player that you and others were excited about prior to this season was Enzo Copetti. In the 36 MLS matches that he played, he scored 7 goals, added 3 assists. Some believed that he would be our star player this season, but then the 28-year-old left in May to join club Atlético Rosario Central in Argentina, his native country. This was the team's choice, as I understand it, based on a lesser-than-expected number of goals scored in a relatively short amount of time here in Charlotte, and the fact that he had become a rather polarizing figure. Talk about that. What went on with him?
Yes, and I was one of the people that believed that this was going to be Ence's year, but nothing further from the truth. He only scored one goal in approximately 10 matches this season for Charlotte FC. And you need to go back to Argentina and think that Rosario Central, they were looking for a big name in the market. So they were going after Angel Di Maria, who's playing for the Argentinian national team at Copa America. When that couldn't happen, then they looked into Enzo Copetti. They approached the club, and the club was okay with it. So, you know, they made the club an offer. The club was good with that offer. So they let Rosario Central negotiate with Copetti. Copetti was in good terms with going back to Argentina. And, you know, that was that. I think that, you know, everybody expected a lot from Copetti, but that did not come to fruition, you know?
And why, given his previous record with MLS teams, why did he seem not to live up to his own reputation?
I think that mentally, in my opinion, he was never here 100%. Like, he never got used to the league. Even though his family was in Charlotte with him, I think that, you know, Argentinian football and, you know, MLS is very, very different. There you can talk more to the refs. You can actually argue with the refs in different ways. In MLS, that's not the case. So I think he never got used to the way the league is played here. And he was always used to being the start of the team. He was coming from Racing. He was the leading goal scorer for that team before he came to Charlotte FC, and everybody was playing for Enzo Copetti. That was not the case in Charlotte FC. So I don't think he was, you know, 100% mentally here with the team.
Actually, he was as I understand it, he was the team's third designated player to leave in 5 months. And that's a term, DP, designated player, that's been tossed around a couple of times here at the risk of really boring fans who really know this game well. For those of us who don't, what's the significance of being one of those designated players?
So you're designated player. Oh, sorry, Archer, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Actually, no worries.
So you're, like you said, Mike, he was the third along with Camille Yozwiak, Karol Swiderski, and then Enzo Copetti. And it kind of goes back to the beginning of Dean Smith saying that these were not his designated players. Now, your designated player is someone who it's going to be an attacking player. He's typically going to be someone who is paid significantly more. He doesn't fall within the typical salary construct of the league, but those are your DPs, and now it's time to see who else can bring in.
We're doing a little Monday morning quarterbacking to mix metaphors here on the midway point of the Charlotte FC season with three seasoned reporters who cover it all. We're coming right back with more in a moment. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, incorporating Mazda's customer-centric vehicle design by making the customer the center of business to create a better car buying experience. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about Charlotte FC mid-season here with many wins under their collective belts. They're fourth in the rankings nationwide in MLS. Ashley Mahoney is here. She reports on this for Axios Charlotte. Arturo Uzcategui is a journalist with Progreso Hispano, and Carol Walton writes for the Charlotte Ledger. And before we move on from Copetti, you wrote in the Ledger in May, Carol, that he was angry with hearing fans say negative things about him, like suggesting he go back to Argentina because he wasn't a very good player. Obviously, he disagreed with that, and he does have a record to prove that they're wrong. He's right, I suppose. But he felt disrespected as well by fans and the coach, because for him, winning goals isn't the only measure. If that's true, what is?
Well, I think the argument can be made a striker, you know, is goal production, right? Goal mm-hmm. contribution, assists, or goals. I think in Copetti's case, he wore his heart on his sleeve. And, you know, any player is going to be going to hear it from the fans, good or bad. And it's kind of how you respond to it. And he was just wired to not turning the other cheek. And it was hard on him, and you kind of felt for him. But after he scored the goal, you remember he did this, and then he, shh, You know, I'm like, is he, wait, what, did he just shush his own fans, you know? And I'm sure he was aiming it at some particular fans, but it was not a good look. And, you know, I think at that point, you know, it was probably, he was on his way out anyway, but that just kind of maybe got the last little shove out the door.
Leal Abada is another new player that the team snagged this year, Arturo. He's an Israeli international for whom the team paid its largest transfer fee in franchise history, $8 million, to get him from the Scottish powerhouse Celtic FC, or Celtic FC, depending upon how they say it over there. How has that turned out for the team?
I think it's starting to pay off as of right now. He's a young kid. He's 22 years old. He's electric. He's coming from Celtic FC, where he had a lot of goal contributions between goals and assists. So I do believe that Dean Smith had a lot to do with this signing of Leal Abada. It's a future, you know, signing for Charlotte FC. And he has made some goals already this season. After he scored his first goal, he had an injury. He had to be out for a couple of games. But, you know, he was great when we went to Atlanta and took that win 2-3 against Atlanta United. So I think you're starting to see what Leal Abada can do for this team. He's electric to have on one as a winger. And then you have Kerwin Vargas on the other side of the field. And I think both of them are going to be trouble for many teams in this league.
Ashley, in Europe, as I understand it, Abada was embroiled in some political activity among fans, especially after Hamas invaded Israel. Has that been a factor here with his play or with the fans in the United States or in Charlotte?
Not to my knowledge. I know that he wanted to have a fresh start somewhere where, and you see this often in sports, it's not uncommon, you know, for him to be a 22-year-old kid who's like, I just want to play the game and I don't want it to be about, you know, sports. The controversy of sports and politics and where they mix, that's definitely something that I think he was looking for, a fresh start somewhere where he could just focus on his game, when that seems to be the case. So that's what he's been able to achieve here in Charlotte thus far. We'll see as time goes on, but it hasn't seemed like fans have been particularly aggressive or forthright in their thoughts on this.
And Ashley, Carol Swiderski is another key player who has been on loan. And the idea was that he was on loan until June 30th. And we actually have some breaking news. We've already gotten a Twitter question about his status. What is that breaking news?
Well, Carol will be back in the building on Independence Day, July 4th, which Dean Smith told FNZ this morning when he was on their program. But what that actually means, we have yet to see, because Patrick Adjiman has been stout and stalwart for them up top. Charlotte FC, in terms of midfield, do you necessarily want to shake things up and bring him in? But you could argue this is someone who's already familiar with the club itself, familiar with a number of players on the squad. So if you were to reinsert Carroll, how would that differ from, say, you bring in a DP during the transfer window? So would you rather have someone who's already familiar?
Is there a potential that he won't play? He'll be back, but they won't put him in? Go ahead, Carroll.
I think it's possible.
Yeah, I was just told literally while we were doing this show this morning that he will not be eligible to play until the summer transfer window opens July 18th. So the first game that Carol Swiderski would even be eligible to play would be July 20th at Austin. So these next few games, he's not eligible to play.
Now, this is what's interesting to me about one of the things that's interesting to me about soccer, Arturo. Other teams trade players mid-season or prior to the season. They come, they go, but they're not on loan. When they're traded, they're gone. What is this deal in soccer where these players are loaned out to other teams? And why? Is it strictly about the money?
Well, it could be about the money. It could be about the fact that, in this case, Dean Smith wanted players who wanted to be on the team. And let's remember that last season, Carol Swiderski, towards the end of the season, in many interviews, expressed his desire to go back to European football. So bringing in Dean Smith, I'm pretty sure he had a conversation with Carol Swiderski and Carroll might have been completely honest with him. So they agreed to loan the player to Hellas Verona, an Italian club. And, you know, Hellas Verona would pay for the player's salary, but ultimately either they had two choices at the end of the loan, either send the player back to Charlotte FC or to actually buy the contract from Charlotte FC. In this case, Karol Świderski did not have a great half season with Hellas Verona in Italy, so he did not deliver to the team's expectations. So the team just sent him back to Charlotte FC. Now, they were negotiating a transfer fee that was less than what it had originally said on the contract, on the loan contract, but that has not happened yet. Now, there's another Turkish club, Antalyaspor, who had expressed interest in Świderski as well. So, you know, that's how the team is dealing with Świderski as of right now. So I'm pretty sure there will be some more Świderski news in the upcoming weeks.
So, Carol, how many other players have come and gone or been on loan this season, and how have their comings and goings affected the team and its record this year?
This is the big one. This is the one. He was the star player, the original designated player for Charlotte FC, and the one that's kind of been hanging in the balance. The miraculous thing really is that the team has played well and gotten into the fourth place in the conference without a star player, without a true star player. Abada obviously has that potential and has come on. But this is, you know, you don't want to say ragtag, but this is a group of players who together are playing maybe above their talent level, you know, and without the star player pulling them along. So I think that's what'll be interesting going in the second half of the season. What happens when they do add some skilled players? And the question the team has now is Świderski, you know, do you want to put him back in a mix with a locker room that is gelled and is playing together? You know, how would that impact them? Or would you rather go with someone new and make a fresh start there?
We played a cut from Dean Smith at the very beginning of this program, Ashley, in which he commented on playing in the heat. And it's hot in Charlotte right now. I don't know whether it will be hot when they resume play, but how much of a factor has that been to date?
I mean, the heat's always going to be a factor. And I say that as someone who was not playing on turf many, many, many years ago. But when you play, particularly in the North Carolina heat in the summer, it is hot. It is miserable. Thankfully, their matches are in the evening, so it's slightly cooler, but it's still going to be hotter on turf than if you were playing on grass. What that factor looks like, you have hydration breaks. You have things that are built in, but weather is just going to be a factor. It'll be a factor here, whether you're talking about North Carolina heat or whether you're talking about playing in England in the miserable rain and snow and slush up in Newcastle. So weather, regardless of where you are, it'll always be a factor.
Well, Arturo, it doesn't get this hot normally in Britain where they play, but it does get this hot in other parts of the world where they play soccer. So, and some of these players come from those parts of the world and have played there. Why is this worse somehow? Why would this even be factored in? I mean, it's hard to play in the heat, period, anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's not only happening in MLS, but it's also happening all throughout the world. I mean, matches are now having hydration breaks at the mark of the 30th minute because it is hot. And you know, it does play a factor. And even though some players for Charlotte FC might come from tropical countries or, you know, countries where the heat is really a factor, still, they need to stay hydrated because, and we even saw a case yesterday during a Copa America match out in the West Coast where one of the assistant referees just passed out from the heat. So it's a major deal that they have to, it's an issue that they have to deal with.
Is this a product, do you think, is this happening suddenly or with more frequency than in years past? Is this a factor? Is this part and parcel of climate change?
I do believe so, yes, because this was not an issue they had to deal with 5-7 years ago.
Wow. So how does that impact their play, aside from these hydration breaks, Carol? Does it change the way they play, the intensity with which they play? Do they have to hold back a bit for self-preservation? What's the deal here?
Well, I think Dean Smith kind of told us the other day in the first half against I think it was DC United. They didn't play well, like they're waiting for the game to come to them and not being as aggressive pressing in the game. And I think that was a direct result, he thought, of the Heat. And it's interesting to see it through his eyes, because it's an adjustment for him, learning how to, you know, make changes in practice and not run them too hard during the week, so they still have enough energy for the game. You know, and he had a game where he had a dizzy spell himself for a few minutes and had to sit down, and he never said it was about the Heat, but I have to wonder, he's a ginger like me, you know, and we don't do so great in the Heat. So he's adjusting just like everybody else.
I'm going to give this question to you, Ashley, because it's a question about Ashley Westwood from Twitter. One of our listeners, Captain Ashley Westwood, has racked up yellow cards this season. He got one right at the end of the Philadelphia game. Is he going to be able to play in the next game? And if not, who will wear the captain band?
He will be out for the next match. And whether who wears the captain band itself? Carol, I'd have to defer to this one to you, but I'm inclined to say it should be Kolina, but I could be completely mistaken on that.
I know Ashley went on a podcast at Charlotte Soccer Show last week, and he personally said he would give it to Nathan Byrne, the veteran fullback. So that if Westy has his way, that'll be who it goes to. I think you could also make a case for Milanda. You know, Scott Arfield, or he's not going to be on the field quite as much, but they've got choices, so that's the good news.
And again, Carol, for those who don't know that much about soccer, why is this a concern, a factor?
For Westy to be out of a game?
For a captain to have to change because he's out of a game.
Well, normally, you know, it's, you know, some teams, the captain might not play every minute of every game. It might not be, you know, if it's a young team, the captain becomes even more important. In Charlotte's case, just the way this team has developed, Westy's become very important. Just the way he leads during a game and in between games. And so I'm not saying Charlotte's going to lose without him, but it'll be something interesting to watch, you know, how they handle it. And he is the guy on the field who he runs interference with the officials. And so that's an important role. And, you know, every once in a while that when he defends a teammate, that gets him a yellow card. And that's what you're seeing with him picking up his fifth.
Ashley, did you want to chime in here?
That is exactly what I was going to say, is this is your ambassador. This is your guy who is going to war with you with the official. So to not have him, and you just hope that whoever else is in there can plead your case. This is, for all intents and purposes, this is your representation to the official when you don't like a call.
So Charlotte City Council just voted to give Tepper Sports and Entertainment $650 million for stadium improvements. Those stadium improvements do not include a dome. They do not include any kind of covering over the fans. We just talked about heat being a concern, and these guys play in the summer. How will these stadium improvements impact or not impact Charlotte FC? Who would like to take that? I'm not sure who to bring that to.
I'll take it. So when Charlotte FC first came on the scene, you saw a lot of changes that happened to the stadium already. There were $50 million in improvements that were soccer specific, from the locker room to the way that things were set up for television broadcast. And now you're seeing a much, much larger overhaul of these renovations that will take significantly longer. But you're going to see just an updated fan experience. It's everything from new seats to just the video boards themselves, and improved sound system. So just imagine the electric atmosphere that you feel, or at least what I've felt being at these matches, and just dial it up just a little bit.
So we have a minute left, a little over a minute left. I'm going to start with you, Ashley, and I'm going to ask the three of you the same question. What do you see as the second half of the season being like, and are we playoff bound? Very quickly from each of you. Ashley, go.
Playoffs and more clean sheets.
Okay, Arturo.
Yes, I do believe we are playoff bound. And I think this will be our final spot once the season is over. I think we're going to finish up in fourth place.
Okay. Carol, what's your take?
They can get through this tough road swing, they'll end up in one of the top spots and maybe even earn a home playoff hosting chance.
And I don't know how likely or unlikely it is for us not to make the playoffs, because you've all said we probably will. But if we don't, how will David Tepper react to that?
Arthur, we'll
need to keep Dean Smith.
Yeah, we'll see if Dean Smith is here for another. We'll see if he becomes the Dean Smith in North Carolina. He's got a ways to go, but we'll see.
He does bring with him that famous name, no matter where he comes from, I suppose. Ashley Mahoney's a reporter for Axios. Charlotte Carol Walton writes for the Charlotte Ledger. And Arturo Uzcategui, I promise I will get your name right the next time you come. Arturo Uzcategui is a journalist with Progreso Hispano. Thank you all for the hour.
Celebrating 25 years on the air, Charlotte Talks with Mike Collins is a production of 90.7 WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from Mazda of South Charlotte. Our executive producer is Wendy Herkey. The senior producers are Gabe Altieri and Sarah D'Elia. Our engineer is Joby Sprinkle. For more information about Charlotte Talks, to listen to past episodes, or subscribe to the podcast, visit wfae.org/charlottetalks. Additional support for WFAE programming comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.